This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Three men want to be the Democratic nominee to take on Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin in November. That's if Bevin is able to beat his opponents in the Republican primary, in which polls indicate he has little more than a majority of support. But the Democrats have issues of their own, namely issues with each other. One candidate is taking aim at another with increasingly hostile attack ads, and a third candidate is waiting in the wings, hoping to bypass them both. Meanwhile, a Northern Kentucky Republican state senator wants his party's nomination for attorney general. But he faces a protege of Senator Mitch McConnell, who is questioning the local legislator's GOP bona fides. Let's preview next week's primary election in Kentucky. Joining Cincinnati Edition are Northern Kentucky University political science associate professor and Bellevue City Councilman Ryan Salzman. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
Campbell County Republican Party Chair Sarah Cameron. Welcome, Sarah.
Oh, so glad to be here. Thank you.
And Campbell County Democratic Party Vice Chair Jim Cole. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Join the conversation about next week's Kentucky primary at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. Okay, let's start with Governor Matt Bevin. He faces a primary challenge of his own next Tuesday. Polls show him pretty well ahead, but nearly a quarter of Republican voters I saw in the most recent poll are undecided. Sarah, what is Bevin hoping for on Tuesday?
I think success for Governor Bevin is going to be approximately 30% advantage over the next popular candidate, which is Representative Robert Goforth. You know, the poll that I think you're referring to is the one that was released a couple of days ago where it said he had favorability ratings of approximately 63% compared to Donald Trump's ratings in the state of 84%. But I don't think there's any question as to next Tuesday whether he gets reelected.
What do you think is success for Matt Bevin, Ryan?
Yeah, I would agree with Sarah. I think that that margin would be significant. There's going to be a lot of people that cast kind of a protest vote likely against him. But if you look at the slate, you know, of course, Representative Goforth is not the only person who will be on the ballot. And that's going to make it almost impossible for any challenger to be able to get to the threshold that's going to be necessary to really challenge him or probably even get within, call it 10 or 15 points. But that being said, if we see, you know, the governor in the 55% range, even if he is 30 points up on everybody else, it doesn't look great. But the primary is different than the general.
And Jim, you're coming at this from a Democratic perspective. And one poll showed Republican Governor Matt Bevin with only 40% approval among of Republican voters. So I mean, he's struggling even within his own party. 33 is his approval rating among all voters. He's the most unpopular governor in America, according to one set of polling that came out recently.
I concur with that opinion.
Well, what's his problem?
Well, he's you know, as you know, I've got a significant involvement with organized labor also. And there he has no friends. You know, there's been major attacks on unions and working people. And one of the interesting facets here, Mr. Goforth, about over 30% of union members are registered Republicans. And he is viewed favorably by labor as a Republican candidate because he helped to blunt some of the attacks and bring people from across the aisle to help us get that done.
Here's something I'm curious about, Sarah. You referenced this in your remarks moments ago. President Donald Trump, far more popular in Kentucky with Republicans than Governor Matt Bevin is. So how important is President Trump going to be to Governor Matt Bevin should he advance for reelection in November?
I think he's going to be hugely important. Donald Trump's same economic success countrywide has been reflected in Kentucky. Both nationwide and Kentucky were at historic low unemployment rates, maybe the lowest, I believe, in the last 50 years. And I think they're going to be working together to make sure that the voters of Kentucky know how significant that is. I you know, at the end of the day, I think that voters, especially in November, are going to look at their families, to look at their own lives and say, hey, do I feel more successful? Do I feel safer? Do I feel more comfortable today than I did 4 years ago? under another governor who maybe was more politically correct and articulate with the media. But, you know, here I have Governor Matt Bevin, who has done some uncomfortable things and has said Kentucky is open for business and created opportunities for me and my family. Hey, you know what? He may not say the perfect thing all the time, but I think he's doing a really great job as governor of Kentucky.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join the conversation. And conversely, Jim, as a Democrat, you must be looking at Matt Bevin's poll numbers and thinking, we've got a shot at this in November. However, you look at President Trump's poll numbers in the state, and they're very high, very high approval rating in Kentucky. So that must give you pause.
There's no doubt that President Trump is very popular in Kentucky. There's no denying that. Governor Bevin, I think we do have a shot there, and it'll remain to be seen what difference it makes. Polling, I think, is almost not worth the money anymore because there's no real measuring stick that you can reach out and touch the general populace with and have a good sample. So ask Hillary Clinton about polling. So we'll see.
I noticed that the state Republican Party will use these cardboard cutouts of Washington Democrats, such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic representative from New York. They use these tactics with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in previous elections. So do you think Democrats are at a disadvantage when it comes to linking Washington politicians to state races compared to Republicans now that they have such a popular president?
It's been a Republican mantra to do that over the last several elections. I think Mitch McConnell was probably one of the first people to make that a way of doing business. I don't know if President Trump carries a lot of popularity here and it overrides some of the disdain that they have for Governor Bevin. It could be a factor.
Ryan, what do you think the Trump factor will be in Kentucky?
It's going to be strong. It's going to be really strong. And I put the over-under of Trump visits somewhere in the 6 range. I think that's a pretty high number for a state the size of Kentucky that's so solidly red and I know there may be some question about whether or not it's solidly red looking historically, but I think as we look at it today and in the last 10 years, it's quite clear to have a sitting president come that many times. And again, that may be the under when it's said and done. You know, that means a lot about what the president thinks. But it is an odd year election, and so there aren't many opportunities for the president to weigh in. He loves rallies, and he knows that his appearances mean something. We look back at the midterm election. The president's visit to EKU was very significant for Congressman Barr, and a lot of people who were on the ground said you could almost feel this shift happened when he arrived. And so I think that we'll see him a lot. And I think it's going to be a huge factor.
You know, with the Republican controlling the governor's mansion and the Republicans controlling the state legislature, the party has been able to push through a lot of its policy agenda. And Sarah, you mentioned that the economy seems to be doing pretty well in Kentucky. Unemployment's very low, particularly in northern Kentucky. However, Matt Bevin polls lowly, mainly because of actions he's done or things that he has said. I want to read a quote from Democratic Congressman John Yarmuth, who represents Louisville. He told the Morning Consult this week, quote, "Bevin's disapproval is because of a lot of personal affronts he's committed. I don't think those people are going to forget about that just because Trump comes to the state and campaigns." Sarah, as a Republican, do those of you who are active within the party get frustrated with the governor's behavior sometimes, some of the remarks that he makes?
You know, I'm going to be honest. Yes, there are times when I wish that he would have said the things that he said differently. And you know, I'm sure Governor Bevin has those moments as well. But when I think about someone who I want running my state government, I look beyond the rhetoric. And I hope that the voters will too. I want to see what are the results? What has he accomplished? And I think that's just the better way of voting. Unfortunately, in the time period that we live in, you know, news is controlled by sound bites. And our governor may not be the best at sound bites, but he is extremely well at leading and having political courage to make difficult decisions. And those are the important things that the voters, I think at the end of the day, those are the things he's going to be judged by.
And Jim, how do you think the Democratic candidate, whoever it may be in November facing Bevin, will be able to fare against his use of that kind of rhetoric? He's got the same kind of bravado that President Trump is known for. And your candidates who are running are, you know, they may be eloquent and policy driven, but they certainly don't have that side to them.
Well, I don't know. I think Rocky Atkins has his edge. Adam Eland has his own persuasiveness. And our attorney, current attorney general, has his features. Some that's being overlooked is we're the only show in town in this election. There's three gubernatorial races in the country. Two of them are probably not competitive. Kentucky is. So all resources are going to be focused here, in my estimation. And that I think that's going to have an immeasurable effect. I have no idea how that will turn out, and I think it's going to be a horse race.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. We have Charlie on the line. Hi, Charlie. Do we have Charlie? I think I hear you. Hi, Charlie. Are you there?
Oh, hi. Yes.
What's your question or comment?
My question is, you mentioned that Trump's approval rating is in the mid-80s. Bevin is in the mid-30s. The two men seem very similar in their rhetoric, what they say. Is there a difference in their policies? Because to me, again, it seems like their policies are similar. So why such the divide in their approval ratings?
Charlie, we'll hang up and let the panel discuss. It is very interesting because we just discussed how Matt Bevin's own comments may have impacted his poll numbers because he's taken aim at teachers with some of the things that he said and suggested some outlandish results of teacher strikes that got some pushback. However, President Trump has said some things that many people consider to be vulgar and disturbing, depending on which corners you might hang out with. And yet, Trump doesn't seem to face any problems with his poll numbers in Kentucky, and yet Bevin does. Why the different standard?
I think that President Trump is much better at convincing people that what he said was the right thing to do, much better than Governor Bevin. And also Governor Bevin faces some other factors, like the people in eastern Kentucky and western Kentucky are leaving the area in droves because there's no jobs there. There's jobs, but they're not in where they live. And he's kind of alienated a lot of people that were part of his base in the last election.
Sarah, do you think that people are penalizing the governor for affronts that they may not penalize the president for?
I think that is correct. I do want to just clarify the numbers. I was citing numbers from a poll that was released 3 days ago where it polled the favorability of Matt Bevin and Donald Trump within the Republican Party.
Right.
And that was Matt Bevin had 63% favorability and Donald Trump 84%. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I think we cannot ignore the fact that Governor Bevin, over the past 3 years that he has been in office, has faced a very difficult situation in terms of the pension crisis. It is not something that is going to be a comfortable fix. I think that is clear. And, you know, when you have someone, let's take it to your household, and you have a credit card, and you've been on a spending spree, buying everything you've ever dreamed of, and then the credit card bill comes, and you can't pay it. That's not a comfortable situation for you in your household. It's not a comfortable situation for Frankfurt, and that's what they're looking at. So when Matt Bevin takes on what no one else has taken on in the last 20 years, which is we need to pay down our credit card and start actually having money for what we're promising here. You know, people aren't going to be excited about that. It doesn't feel good to pay down your credit card.
But he's vetoed the pension legislation that has come out of the Republican-controlled legislature, which is causing some friction even within the leaders of the party in Frankfurt. How is he going to handle that as well?
Well, you know, he vetoed the bill basically because it wasn't going to be constitutional. And this train is hurling down the tracks. And we have to act fast. I think that, you know, the municipalities of Kentucky are going to be responsible for pension bills that they simply are not going to be able to pay in July. So he wants a real solution, an enforceable solution from our state legislature. And I really hope that they can all come together and make this. I know it's a tough decision. I know it's an unpopular thing that people don't want to talk about, but we have to get our financial house back in order in Kentucky.
We're going to talk about the Democrats in the race coming up, and also a look at the Attorney General's race, which includes a Republican state senator from Northern Kentucky who was just seen in a campaign ad shooting a television. We're going to discuss why that was. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. Next Tuesday is Election Day in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and the political parties are picking their nominees for the statewide constitutional offices in November. So let's continue our discussion on the state of the primary with Northern Kentucky University Political Science Associate Professor and Bellevue City Councilman Ryan Salzman, Campbell County Republican Party Chair Sarah Cameron, and Campbell County Democratic Party Vice Chair Jim Cole. The number to call is 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation here. You can also email talk WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments or your tweets. It's a very Campbell County heavy show today. We've got you three all from Campbell County. In the next segment, we've got a couple of people from Dayton High School. So there's our thanks to Campbell County for the afternoon. We appreciate
Campbell
that.
Campbell County, it's the place to be.
So we've talked about Bevin and the Republicans. Let's talk about the Democrats now. Current Attorney General Andy Beshear, current House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Atkins, and former State Auditor Adam Edlin are running against each other. So before we discuss their campaigns, and presuming that Bevin wins renomination on the Republican side, Ryan, who do we think from a strategic point of view or ease of campaigning issue do we think Bevin wants to face from that trio?
Well, my guess is that he would prefer to face Mr. Beshear. I think that it's kind of the easiest foil for Matt Bevin because he can run against his father in a lot of ways and kind of speak to the entrenchment of the Democratic Party. Also, the Attorney General is on the record, you know, taking action, lawsuits against policies that have been passed through the legislature. So if you vote for a representative, that person champions a bill and then the Attorney General goes after. There's just a lot of different pressure points for the Bevin campaign to go after with Andy Beshear for sure.
Sarah, I imagine the Republicans, including your own and your neighbors in Campbell County, are confident that Matt Bevin will win re-election in
Absolutely.
November, no matter who he's up against.
Yes. But the party has not endorsed, but I personally, yes, I am confident.
Do you think any of the Democrats face a tougher challenge for the governor in November than the others?
A tougher challenge for Matt Bevin?
Yes.
Actually, no. And maybe I'm sounding overly confident in that, but
you think the scoreboard looks the same regardless of who he's up against?
I think it does. I mean, you've got Andy, as Ryan just said, Andy Beshear has taken some really strong positions against policies that I believe are going to be unpopular statewide. But, you know, Adam Edlin lost to a pretty much unknown Mike Harmon last cycle. He has a huge name ID problem, and I don't think he's overcome it. And then Rocky Atkins, I don't think he has I don't know if it's the experience or I just don't think that he also has the name ID or the ability to come toe-to-toe with Matt Bevin on policy.
Jim, your fellow Democrats are getting increasingly contentious with one another in this gubernatorial primary. Adam Edlin is taking aim at Andy Beshear on the Attorney General's alleged connections to Big Pharma and basically accusing Andy Beshear of riding the coattails of his father, former Governor Steve Beshear. I'm wondering, is this problematic for your side?
I think primaries are what primaries are, and I think that Adam and Andy are competing largely for the same marketplace. Their base is in the Golden Triangle, particularly in Lexington and Louisville. And I think they're competing mainly for those votes, whereas Rocky Atkins has got more of a rural bent. So I think that they're going to kick and scratch and claw, and then hopefully we'll all come together after next week.
Ryan, is there a danger for the Democratic candidates if this heat heats up further?
Oh, I think it's good. Right now, the Democrats have to be looking for attention. You know, they want to seem as legitimate as possible in what's been, you know, a very difficult 10, 20 years for the Democratic Party and having a very active race. And I think that there's some good variation with across these candidates as well. I mean, you have Rocky Adkins, who's, you know, he really leans on the fact that he's a pro-life Democrat. Adam Edlin, you know, although Jim said that, you know, his appeal is mostly in the Golden Triangle, the reality is he's trying to make a strong appeal to Eastern Kentucky, looking at solar power and that being a lot of his, and then Andy Beshear being the establishment. So even though you could say Rocky is establishment, even though you could say Adam, he'd held a statewide race, statewide office, could also be establishment, that they're not all falling into the same silhouette. And I think that that's good for the Democratic Party, and it's creating debates within the Democratic Party, which is going to be necessary moving forward, because I anticipate that things are probably going to get worse for the Democrats before they get better if we think about the next 10 or 20 years.
I think these are all very curious arguments, because Rocky Adkins is sort of a down-home, typical-looking Kentucky politician. He's got the right accent. He picks a banjo and sings with everybody, and it's all very joyous and fun or whatever. But he's been in the state house since the 1980s, so he's been in Frankfurt for a long time. And Adam Edlin running away from the establishment and even criticizing the Beshear family. He was chief of staff for Governor Steve Beshear and was able to ride that into a statewide office of his own. So I wonder how genuine that is. And we'll go to the phones again. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join in. We've got Jennifer on the line. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Michael. I just want to tell you how much I love you on the show.
Jennifer, I tell everyone we're not related and I didn't tell you to call.
No, but my brother's name is Michael, but he's 5 states away, so that's impossible. Well, but it's very... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's such a very kind thing for you to say. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. I like how your brain works. Anyway, so I've been listening on hold, and I was sort of trying to comment on the tail end of the Republican part of this program, but it was really good for me to listen because I'm writing all this down. I'm from Massachusetts, but now I call Kentucky home. And in Massachusetts, politics is a full-contact sport. And it's interesting for me to hear this as sort of a small microcosm of, like, what's going on in the country. So I just want to comment to both sides, Republican and Democrat, about how I see this whole thing working out. So I think it's interesting because as much as Kentucky is a leader in trying to promote industry and trying to promote growth in this state and provide jobs and everything else, there's this regressive line of politics that I eventually, I think, will be like driving into a brick wall. So I thought that was interesting because to me, I would never vote for Matt Bevin. And that is why, is because I see his politics as regressive and irresponsible and insulting to constituents. And that's what I see as wrapped up in this pension thing, because this pension thing has been mismanaged for a decade. So to act like right now he's like the responsible dad in the situation, that's just untrue. And I think what I can't underscore enough, is that average Americans, whether they are ham and eggers or they are filthy rich, are in the politics now. And Republican Party has to take notice of that and stop talking down to their constituents and stop acting like you're in it for them, because the Republican Party clearly is not. The Republican Party is about staying in power, and that's that. So then
And Jennifer, we appreciate your comments. We've got to get back to the panel. Thanks for calling, and thanks for leaving one Commonwealth and coming to another. We're glad to have you as a neighbor in Kentucky now. And Sarah, it looks like you might want to react to Jennifer's comment.
Well, I think no one's going to be surprised to know that I disagree with much of what she said. I think that Bevin has been extremely responsible in handling the pension crisis. And actually, he is the first governor in, I think, 20 years to fully fund the teacher's pension. And that is strictly fact. And he did that by, you know, making some hard cuts where it hurts. But he was being the responsible dad. Jennifer, I'm sorry you disagree, but, you know, he was. And, you know, Matt Bevin's not a career politician. He's never held office before he was governor of the state. He's not going to be someone who sticks to clean talking points because he has this vision of a political career. He is who he is. And does he say things perfectly and with political correctness at all times? No. And but, you know, he's authentic. And again, he's making hard decisions, and those hard decisions are paying off for Kentucky. We are more successful. We are more secure as a state because of his performance over the last 3 years. And you know what? I hope for the sake of Kentucky, we reelect him.
All right, Jim, were you groaning a little bit at the teacher retirement remark? Or I thought I heard a grunt.
Yeah, but I'd like to address it from a different angle. The prosperity that we've had, this alleged prosperity, is not filtered down to everyday people. The Eastern Kentucky has particularly been hard hit. Western Kentucky has been hit. So this prosperity is not universal, and it's smoke and mirrors in a lot of respects. And I have a tendency to agree with the caller on a large part of what she had to say.
All right, I want to get into a couple more questions in our last couple minutes, so we'll have to move rather fast through here. But first, I've been asked to clarify what the Golden Triangle of Kentucky is, and that's usually a reference in Kentucky to—
From northern Kentucky to Lexington to Louisville and the triangle that creates.
A major population and economic engines of the rest of the state.
Highest population density.
Okay, so I think back to 2011 when I first started covering northern Kentucky exclusively, and Steve Beshear's campaign rolled into town, and all the other statewide officer candidates were with him. And so there were a load of down-ticket candidates who were successful that year. You had Adam Edelin elected state auditor. Jack Conway was elected attorney general. Allison Lundergan Grimes was elected secretary of state, all from the Democratic side that year in statewide elections. It looked like the Democrats had a really solid bench for statewide or congressional offices. Now, Conway lost the 2015 gubernatorial race. Grimes lost her 2014 race against Senator Mitch McConnell. And Edelin was upset, as Sarah said, by a relatively unknown state representative, Mike Harmon, in the auditor's race. And now if he loses on Tuesday, it's two losses in a row for him. So who's the Democrats' bench now?
Well, I think as you look across the entire ticket, you see a lot of quality in all the down-ticket offices as well as in the governor's race. And I think it's noteworthy that even though Adam Edelin lost in his last election, Governor Bevin won his last primary by a handful of votes.
87 votes, something like that.
So, once one election doesn't dictate what's going to happen in the next election.
Ryan, how important is voter turnout going to be in this race?
Well, that's a great question. Voter turnout will matter, but how it matters is the big question, because both of these sides, or in particularly the Democrats for governor, have a lot of enthusiasm right now, and that'll drive it up. But as we look towards the general election, the closer it polls, the greater the likelihood that voter turnout will be higher. And I personally believe that benefits the Republicans quite substantially, at least here in northern Kentucky, but probably commonwealth-wide.
I mean, we've seen primaries in northern Kentucky where the counties don't get above 10% turnout. So,
well, I pulled the numbers prior to coming. And in 2015, I believe all the counties were at 9%. 9% mm-hmm. turnout.
And that was a very competitive Republican
shameful.
Primary
yes,
in a Republican-dominated district.
I mean, I knocked on so many doors the months prior to that primary. And so, yeah, I was pretty blown away. I cannot figure out why people don't come out and vote. And and I was just reading that Dr. Seuss book to my three-year-old the other day, and I was thinking, gosh, maybe I should do this on FaceTime or Facebook Live. Educate everybody again why it's important to vote. You
All
have
right.
this right. Use
let's,
it.
Let's go back to the phones for one last call. Jackie's on the line. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm in agreement with one of the commentators there that they tout this wonderful economy. However, I don't think average Americans are feeling that. I've worked at a college for 4 years, have not received a raise. Health insurance goes up. The cost of food and everything, like going to the grocery, seems higher. I'm not feeling it in my life, and most of the people that I'm around don't see it. I do believe there's more jobs, but they're mediocre jobs. They're not jobs that really, change your life kind of jobs. And I think that, this idea of the economy really working, it's not working for everyone.
Jackie, we appreciate that perspective so much. Thanks for the call. Okay, look, before we go, I've got to touch on this thing that I've been teasing the whole time, and it's that we've got State Senator Will Schroeder, a Republican who represents Campbell, Bracken, and Pendleton counties in northern Kentucky, was just elected to his second term. He's running for attorney general, but he faces Daniel Cameron, a Mitch McConnell protege in the Republican primary. Cameron, who is no relation to our panelist, Sarah Cameron, is criticizing Will Schroeder for, I guess, his dad's name, who was a Supreme Court justice and was a Democrat. So is Will Schroeder really a Democrat? Well, Will Schroeder decided to prove he's a Republican, apparently, by taking to the airwaves and pulling a gun on a television set and firing the gun and shooting the television. Sarah, what's his message with that?
I think his message, it was a strong message. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that. But I think his message is, come on now, I'm a conservative.
Is that what a conservative image is shooting a television?
Well, the Second Amendment is extremely important to conservatives, especially in Kentucky. And we've mentioned Eastern Kentucky a lot. I'm from Eastern Kentucky. My parents are still there in Pike County. And I said, Michael before was like, how's your shot? And I said, well, I'm a hillbilly. My shot's good.
But Will Schroeder's like originally from Fort Mitchell and is a corporate lawyer downtown Covington. He's not shooting a rifle often.
Actually, I think you'd be surprised. And in full candor to our listeners, Will is a very close friend of mine. And he and my husband go turkey hunting all the time. That is actually who Will is.
All right.
It's a strong response. I think what he was just trying to do is to get the attention of the people who got those mailers. And I believe there's been three or four of them that have claimed he is not conservative enough. And just said, hey, look at my voting record. Look what's important to me. Faith, family, freedom. And again, I'm not endorsing in this race. Clearly, Will's a friend. But I think that's what he was trying to do. There's no hidden motivations. It's going to be an interesting race. And Republicans are really lucky. Daniel Cameron, Will Schroeder, both outstanding individuals. And we're going to be so excited, either one, to be all 110% behind them come November.
If Will Schroeder is elected attorney general, that opens up a state Senate seat in your district. Sarah, are you going to run for it?
I have told people we are not having that conversation at all, not about me, not about anyone else, until May 23rd. That's when we're going to start thinking about that.
Jim, I bet the Democrats are having that conversation. I gave it a good shot last time.
Yeah, Rachel Roberts was an outstanding candidate. Demographics worked against her, and I think that she would be a front runner if she chose to get in.
All right. We appreciate all of you for being here. Sarah Cameron from the Campbell County Republicans, Jim Cole from the Campbell County Democrats, and Dr. Ryan Salzman from Northern Tech University. Appreciate all of your time
today. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.